In Pentecost, remember the descension of the Holy Spirit, where the disciples have received the power from on high. And they certainly know they have this power. They have winds rushing, tongues of fire around them. They are speaking in other languages. But those who do not have the Holy Spirit stand amazed and bewildered, confused about what is happening. Some are sneering and saying that they are drunk. Others are just wondering how in the world this could be. But it seems none of them is able to lay their finger on the reality that this is God pouring God's Spirit out upon the world. They do not recognize that God is at work here. And we know that this continues to be a challenge. When we do not experience the breath of the Holy Spirit ourselves, we have a hard time identifying God's action and activity in the world. Indeed, this is exactly what we heard from Paul today, that if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot say that Jesus is Lord. We cannot recognize God's activity for redemption and restoration without the help of the Holy Spirit. So once more, we continue to see this divide then, divide between those who have received the gifts of God, who have this faith instilled to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and those who do not. And our gospel reading reminds us today of how a recognition of that difference can sometimes lead us to experience fear. We're back into that first day of the week when the disciples hadn't truly realized that Jesus was risen from the dead. They were locked away out of fear because they knew that there was a substantial difference between themselves and those around them. They believed that Jesus was Lord. They had followed Jesus around. And now they think those around them are hostile because, quite reasonably, they think this because Jesus was crucified. They know they do not share their faith, their belief. They do not think that Jesus is Lord. And the difference between these groups seems too great to overcome. The disciples think, for our own protection, we must lock ourselves away, separate ourselves from those who do not believe, because we can't trust what they will do to us. For our own personal safety, we'll have to distance ourselves from this other group. Indeed, even today, we can still share in some of those fears. We can feel like there's a great gulf, a great chasm that exists between us who confess Jesus as Lord and those who do not. In this fear, we can be hesitant to share our faith, be hesitant to share the faith, hope, and love God invites us to share in this world, wondering about how we will be received, wondering about the rejection we may experience, wondering even about the harm that may come to us in certain circumstances. Indeed, our fears might be even deeper than that. We may wonder about our own faith. Can we talk about our faith because we don't know how well we understand it ourselves? How much we have of it. Perhaps we doubt, we wonder if we would even belong in the room with the disciples all the way back then, or would we be those on the outside? The good news today is that we see the Holy Spirit breaks in and overcomes our fears. The Holy Spirit floods the apostles as they wait for this recognition of the power from on high. And we see that all fear is removed. They are given boldness to proclaim their faith, to point others to hear the mighty deeds of God. We know that there's been no change in those around them. Those in Jerusalem who crucified Jesus still were a part of that process. But the disciples are changed through encountering the Holy Spirit. They are ready to stand in the public square and make proclamation of their faith. Fear is gone. This is even more than we would hear at the conclusion of our gospel reading in John 20, where the fear is removed, but they continue to still meet sequestered away in this room. Now, they are invited to share their faith broadly and publicly, to show with confidence that they know the life and love of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It emboldens their witness to proclaim God's deeds of power. We also hear that that same Spirit gives peace. We hear this in our gospel reading. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That peace comes from a connection with God, a connection with Christ. We have peace through the Holy Spirit. And this anchors us throughout our lives, that we may know God is with us in any and all circumstances. In short, this peace is a peace that comes from ability to trust and to believe in the power of the resurrection. That the peace that the disciples know is one that comes as they recognize their risen Lord standing before them. This is important, I think, because it goes back to what Paul has said. We cannot recognize our Lord. We cannot know the good news of the resurrection without the help of the Holy Spirit. And yet that good news is what we have been celebrating for the past 7 weeks, which means this. The Holy Spirit has been with us all along. The Holy Spirit has been at work to help us believe and trust in the good news of the resurrection. We wait 7 weeks to be reminded of how the Spirit was outpoured upon us at Pentecost, but we are also remembering how the Spirit has been with us all along, cultivating our belief and trust in the good news that Christ was raised from the dead. We can be confident of the Spirit's work in our lives. We need not be afraid that our faith is insufficient, for we know the Holy Spirit is the root cause of our faith in Christ. We can say Jesus is Lord because of the Holy Spirit. And what's more, we hear in our second reading today that this same Spirit also gives us gifts. Gifts of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, power, healing. Gifts that come for the sake of building up the body of Christ. Gifts that we are given that to be shared boldly and without reservation in this world, that others may encounter the good news of God's redeeming love. This is what the apostles are doing today as well. They are sharing the good news of God's deeds of power, telling people, yes, God is still up to something even now. God has told us about it before, and it is still at work. You can now be a part of the same body of Christ. You can be built up together through the work of the Holy Spirit. These gifts continue to be given to us and to the church to help us be built up together in love, bound together in this one body. And here through baptism, we are connected to that body. We have the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. Today we celebrate with those who are affirming and confirming their faith, affirming this gift of baptism that was shared with them. We celebrate with Cooper, Isaac, and Jacob, as they will make public confession of their faith and also attend to that discernment process of understanding what gifts the Holy Spirit has given them to build up and sustain the church, this community rooted in faith. But of course, that call is for all of us. We are all in the discernment process of how may we use the gifts that God has given to us to nourish and sustain those around us, to build up the body of Christ, to help us believe and to trust in the community of saints and in the power of the resurrection. How do we use our gifts to bear witness to God's presence among us? And as we seek to do this, we are reminded we already have God's presence among us. In this meal that we share, the Holy Spirit is poured out once more on this bread and wine to bring us in closer connection to Christ's own body and blood, to draw us into that body of Christ, and to nourish and sustain our faith. As we receive this gift today, we know a peace and a boldness that helps us go forth to use our gifts to celebrate and share the love of Christ. And for this wonderful gift of the Spirit that sends us out into this world strengthened and refreshed to boldly share faith, hope, and love with all those around us, we can only say for such a gift as this, thanks be to God. Amen.